Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Well, I think young people, if they're not getting their love quotient filled in the right places, which is with God and in their families, and in quality friendships, I mean, there's different forms of love, but if that's not being filled up on the inside, you know, in a lot of broken lives, broken situations, broken families, there's a lack of feeling of love and stability. And so these girls are going to their boyfriends or even, you know, a guy at school that at 12, 13, and they're needy and they're just saying, show me affection, and they're thinking that that's love. If a guy really, and I've said this so often, if a guy really loves you girls, he's gonna wait for you. He's not gonna pressure you to have sex. You know, that whole if you love me, you'll have sex with me thing is baloney. So, it's a really important message.
That's solid advice from Rebecca St. James, author, singer, speaker, actress, and somewhat of an activist for sexual purity over the years. And today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear part two of our continuing conversation with Rebecca as she talks about living pure in mind, body, and soul. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, you can become a fan of Homeward and also APU on Facebook and watch videos and learn about upcoming events and read up on current students' experiences as well. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/Azusa Pacific and you can get connected with us through social media. We're also tweeting, so you want to check out our Twitter stream. And now with part two of his conversation with Rebecca St. James, here's Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very special day. It's a continuing conversation. Rebecca St. James with us, living pure in an impure culture. And we've been talking about purity of mind, of body, and of spirit. Today we're going to talk about body. Welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Jim. Very nice to be here.
Written a great devotional book, 90-day devotional for mind, body, and spirit. It's called Pure. You made a commitment at age 15 to sexual purity, and you continue to talk about this. That's a bit of a pressure for you.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, definitely, yeah, to be a singer and to travel around the world and each night, you know, just say I'm waiting and I'm pure. And sometimes I use the V word, the virgin word, you know, like, you know, definitely it adds some pressure. But the way that I choose to see it is it's actually adding extra accountability to a decision that I already wanted to make, you know. I mean, before I was singing, I was living out purity, and so telling thousands of people every night that I'm waiting is just extra accountability.
Yeah, well, so, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the fact that you take that stand in front of a lot of people, because really can challenge a lot of these young people who are maybe not making good decisions even though they want to. But they then, you know, continue to kind of fall away. You say that many young people are looking for love in all the wrong places in our culture today. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think young people, if they're not getting their love quotient filled in the right places, which is with God and in their families and in, you know, just like quality friendships. I mean, there's different forms of love, but if you're, you know, if that's not being filled up on the inside, and you know, in a lot of, you know, broken lives, broken situations, broken families, there's a lack of feeling of love and stability. And so these girls are going to their boyfriends or even, you know, a guy at school that, you know, at 12, 13, and they're needy. And they're just saying, show me affection. And they're thinking that that's love. And so I love the title of, you know, the movement that happened when I was just, you know, starting to sing 14 years ago, true love waits. Like if a guy really, and I've said this so often, if a guy really loves you girls, yeah, he's going to wait for you. He's not going to pressure you to have sex. You know, that whole, if you love me, you'll have sex with me thing is baloney. So, yeah, it's a really important message.
No, it really is an important message. And it seems to me that a lot of times when we're thinking about this, we meet kids who their emotional involvement with a guy or even sometimes guys with girls exceeds their maturity level, and they just simply don't know how to wait, if you would. What suggestions do you offer to somebody who really does want to wait? They want to be pure, but they're kind of struggling with it. They're kind of on the fence.
Well, you know, we do these mother-daughter, these she events, and that question comes up so much. You know, what can you say to our girls to, you know, encourage them? One thing that also comes up a lot along these lines is dating. And I really say, you know, I just encourage them not to start dating young. My sister is 16, and, you know, she's had a lot of guys show interest in her. She's tall and, you know, just kind of looks like a model. And but, you know, she just says, I just want to be friends. And I just applaud her for that. And, you know, I think until you're a couple of years away from actually being able to get married, just don't start the whole dating thing. Enjoy being friends. Keep it low pressure. Because, you know, I had one of my closest friends in the world start dating very, very young, early teens. And she ended up falling, having sex outside of marriage, because the pressure just was too much. She was dating very, very young, and it just, you know, this touching goes to this touching, and it just becomes more and more.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. I just wrote a book on, to parents on teaching healthy sexuality, and I actually quoted somebody else in it that says, if you start dating at age 12, and kids do, that's what's amazing, well, there's a 91% chance that they're going to have sex before they get out of high school.
Right.
And it's like that through about 16. And then about 16, it begins to change. And if people do begin to wait to date, if you would, as they get older, they're going to be able to say no. They're going to be more mature, you know, in terms of the way they handle these things. So it's exactly right. And yet there's a lot of parents who are, because of the pressure of their kids saying, no, I want to go out, I'll be fine. I, you know, I've signed the pledge, I've done true love points. But in reality, what we have to do as parents sometimes is not be their friends and say, look, we're going to wait. This is a marker. You know, I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you taking, you know, a stand for that in many ways. Now, a lot of times there are people that I'm sure are talking to you who regret not waiting. In some ways, that's almost the norm, if you would. What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, and that's why every night in my concert, I talk about forgiveness and second chances. So I have a song called Wait For Me. It's a love song that I wrote to my future husband, just saying, I'm waiting for you and praying for you. Wait for me too. And, you know, that song has become a kind of a theme song for a lot of girls, but also has encouraged guys that there are girls out there that are waiting, that want men of integrity, men of honor, men like my brothers. I have a couple brothers out on the road with us doing a couple songs in the set, and they're just talking about being men of integrity. And you girls don't settle for less than a guy that's going to treat you in a God-honoring way. And so, but forgiveness is such an incredibly important thing to talk about. And there's a part in my song that says, now I know you may have made mistakes, but there's forgiveness and a second chance, so wait. And the truth is, all of us, every single one of us, Jesus is the only person that was perfect, that ever lived a sinless life. But the rest of us, all of us have made mistakes, all of us have fallen short and need Jesus' forgiveness that he offers to us. So there's hope.
You're in a concert in Wales. You were
this is going
you were you know, you were singing your heart out, you spoke on, you know, on purity, and you even talk about a t-shirt saying modest is hottest, which I love that phrase.
Yeah, I do too.
But somebody came up to you afterwards and said, you know, there's something about your skirt.
Oh, you just brought up my most embarrassing moment. Yeah, people know now. This Welsh audience were just being really weird and like very hard to connect with this one night. And so I'm signing autographs after the show, and I had this skirt. I was dressing modestly, you know, this kind of black skirt with some like cool funky red stitching on it that I was wearing over these black pants. And this girl comes up to me after the show and she said, did you know that your skirt spells sex over and over and over again? And the stitching, I just thought it was this cool like S-shaped of stitching, and no, it was spelling sex in big letters. And once you saw it, you couldn't miss it. And so I just wanted to melt into the ground. And she said, I asked her, so do you think very many people knew about this? And she said, well, it was kind of going around at intermission. So I was just humiliated.
But it's interesting because you know, I think you're a prime example that for young women, and I think parents have to help them understand that they can dress modestly and still dress cool.
Yes.
Obviously, you don't want a skirt that has that, but it's a great family, you know, story you can talk about.
Uh-huh.
But really, you can. I mean,
yes.
Today's young women can do that.
They can. And modesty is something that I've been talking about a lot lately, too, because a lot of girls say, oh, I'm pure, I'm waiting, I've got the purity ring, you know. But then they dress like they're asking for sex, and they don't know it a lot of the time.
No, but I honestly think they don't.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Yeah. We don't understand how much they struggle with keeping their minds pure. And that's what I keep saying. We have got to realize that we've got to be helpful in protecting our brothers in the Lord, their minds, but also not be saying something with the way that we're dressing that is opposing to our heart's commitment to purity.
Right.
And so layering, you know, making sure we're not showing too much skin, you know, not wearing short shorts and short skirts, showing heaps of leg. I mean, these are kind of specifics that I talk about in my She event, because it's something that needs clarification. So I really encourage moms to talk to their girls about that, or maybe dads too.
Right. I think dads have to too. I'm as a dad of three daughters, I think sometimes I need to say, skin, you may not think that's a big deal, but it is
big deal to guys.
That's exactly right. Listen, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. What a privilege to have Rebecca St. James with us. Her book is called Pure. We're going to listen to a beautiful little clip from Wait For Me right now, and then you'll hear from Roger.
About you, waiting for the look in your eyes when we meet for the first time. And darling, did you know that I pray about you, praying that you will hold on, keep your loving eyes only for me.
Music there of Rebecca St. James and a song called Wait For Me. That's been a very encouraging song for a number of teen and pre-teenage girls, and it's so nice to have someone like Rebecca St. James, who was in the public eye, very, very attractive, very, very noticeable, and yet had a message to young girls about sexual purity. And the whole theme of that song is kind of summarizing her whole ministry. Today on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Rebecca St. James, talking about living pure in mind, body, and soul. And this is based on a new devotional book that Rebecca's released recently called Pure. It's a 90-day journey to help young girls live pure in mind, body, and soul. If you'd like more information about that book, of course, check us out online at homeward.com. We have links to all the different authors who are guests here on the program, and you can follow through and learn more about the work that they've done, and also the music in the case of Rebecca St. James. Also, if you'd like a copy of this program on full-length audio CD, be listening at the end of the program, and I'll have information on how you can get that. More from Dr. Jim Burns in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
We're here on the street asking dads to describe their relationships with their kids. How about you, sir?
Well, you know that commercial where the dad is walking his daughter down the aisle and they turn and they look at each other and he gives her a hug and a kiss on the cheek and says, "Honey, I love you."
Yeah?
Well, that is definitely not me.
If you don't think of yourself as an affectionate type, that has to change. The reason is simple. If you want a relationship with your kids, then affection and appropriate touch is a must. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy for us parents to do, especially us guys. However, I'm convinced that we can master the art of using loving words, affirmation, encouragement, and meaningful touch to deepen our relationships with our kids. So don't miss these all-important moments for building that bridge between you and your children. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Keeping in Touch with Your Kids, go to homeward.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back. That's great music. Rebecca St. James with us. Living pure in an impure culture is what we're talking about. You know, the body and the mind and the spirit are all designed to be in sync with God's plan, and that is a pure life. Not always easy. Today, we're talking about a purity of body. Rebecca St. James, wonderful person, Grammy Award-winning singer, Dove Awards as well, author, traveling around the world, telling people about Christ and his love and forgiveness, also taking a stand for purity. Appreciate so much all that you do, Rebecca. Your grandma passed away not too long ago. I think her name was Nana. I had Nini, and you had Nana.
Yes.
She gave you some great advice about sex being sacred, and it's something you wrote about in your book, Pure.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember this was probably actually a bunch of years ago. I was probably in my early 20s, and I just, my grandparents were at my house in Nashville, Tennessee, and just kind of hanging out, and I really just wanted to get her perspective on sex. And I just think in our generation, our culture, there's not enough respect for elders and what they can pass on to us and how they can help us to avoid some of the mistakes that other generations may have made. And so anyway, she was just speaking into my life. She was a pastor's wife. My grandfather is a pastor, and just, she has so much wisdom. And so anyway, I was just talking to her about sex, and she just said, you know what, Rebecca, or Beck is what she would call me. Sex is sacred, and it's just something to, not be liberal about, you know, really just something to protect and, keep within marriage, because it's a beautiful gift that God gave us, but not something that you want to be carrying outside of marriage, because it's not a gift then. And so, yeah, it was just really beautiful to hear her speak about it.
Yeah, you know, it's neat. We have a phrase at Homeward that says one of the purposes of the church is to mentor parents. Parents mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation.
Yeah.
In many ways, that's, you're carrying on.
Yeah.
It's not just about what God is doing in your life, but it's a family who stands for purity. It's a grandma who's giving you that kind of information.
Yes.
You know, that's a great desire of a lot of parents for their children. And you have a desire to be, as you say in your book, pure, above reproach, biblical term. What does being above reproach and practicing that concept, what is that for Rebecca St. James?
I think the way that it plays out in my life is I want to be able to defend, if I'm called to account for any of my actions, I want to be able to defend it biblically and say, you know what, I'm not perfect, but here is how I was seeking to honor God in this situation. And so if it's to do with a guy, I mean, some of the boundaries that I have, I mean, I talk, if I'm dating a guy, we talk about purity and the boundaries that I need to have, and especially the fact that, you know, telling thousands of people every night,
right,
you know, and then through my music, millions, that I'm waiting and I'm pure. I know the enemy would love to trip me up. And so things like, I'll keep a shoe in the door if I'm alone in a room with a guy at night, or, you know, just making sure that somebody can walk in to the place that we are at any point. And so that we're not going to get up to mischief, because we know that somebody could be around at any point. And so there's things like that.
Practical.
Not letting a guy touch me anywhere that a bathing suit would cover. I mean, real practical stuff. And I talk about these things because I think a lot of young people just feel like, where's the lines? And I don't know, kind of, you know, and they want straight talk. And so I'm so appreciative that my parents spoke into my life on that kind of level, and I just value that.
I appreciate you giving kids that kind of good practical advice. Now, what do you look for in a guy? I mean, people have to ask you this all the time. You know, this guy
that's
out there.
Question.
You know, you talk about this, you sing about
this.
You know, the mystery man for Rebecca St. James.
Who I hope is going to walk into my life any second now. Lord Jesus, please. My Prince Charming, my holy hunk. I actually have a t-shirt that says, Waiting for My Holy Hunk. We sell it at our t-shirts.
That is a great t-shirt.
At our shows. Okay. Definitely that he is wanting to honor God with his life and just loves him so much that you just see a radiance on his face and in his countenance, because he just loves God. And I think when a guy is in that kind of relationship with God, he's going to know how to love me well. And so a guy that loves his family. I think that honors people no matter who they are. I think watching a guy and seeing him interact with other people is really key for me, because that shows something about how he's going to treat me. I've also heard that if you watch a guy in the way that they interact with their mother, that's how that they'll probably treat you in marriage. But you know, a guy with a sense of adventure, a guy who will make me laugh and fun, kind of have that playful element. You know, somebody who has the same vision for life. I really see myself as being somebody that's going to be a helpmate, you know, with my future husband, that will serve God together. And so a likeness of vision. I mean, I could go on and on.
No, but those are the kinds of things that I was hoping you'd say, because a lot of times when you say to a young girl, they say, well, I hope he's, you know, 6'4", he has blonde, wavy muscles galore. And those are cool things.
Right.
But in reality, it's things that you write about here in your book, Pure. You know, a person who's humble, a person who's pure of heart, a person who has the kind of attributes that you're talking about. And I think somebody needs to talk to girls and to guys.
Right.
That, you know, there's more to it than just the outward appearance that so often the culture is just jamming at them.
Well, you know, I've dated some good-looking guys, you know, but if the heart isn't there and the inner beauty, that inner handsomeness isn't there, then you just actually start after a while just kind of looking at them and going, you know what, that just having the outer beauty doesn't cut it.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. And it's interesting that you said the word heart. I love the way, Roger, she said the word heart, too. I couldn't say it like that.
Heart.
That's speaking in Australian. But, you know, the scripture says, guard your heart above all else. And I love what the Living Bible version says. It says, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. And you are about trying to help young people, you know, in many ways, guard their hearts as you guard your heart. Mm. Advice to a parent who's trying to help their kids guard their hearts in the midst of a crazy culture.
I would just really encourage parents to talk to their kids about the importance of that, what they watch and what they listen to. I think one of the things that my parents really, you know, blessed us with growing up is they just were really careful about encouraging us to, you know, watch what we watch, because it raises or lowers your standards. You know, no matter how much kids will say, oh, I just listen to the music, I don't listen to the words, it's going in, you know what I mean? And it will come out in your life. Junk in, junk out. But I'm careful about, you know, at my age, I'm careful. I was careful in my teens. You know, now I kind of feel like a big sister to young people. I'm still careful, even though I'm not in my teens, about what I'm watching, because it's influencing my life and my decisions. And so that's probably the one of the biggest ones.
That's a great thing. Guard your heart above all else.
Yeah.
Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
What a privilege.
Thank you.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author, singer, speaker, actress. Boy, the list of credentials go on for Rebecca St. James. And we've been talking about living pure in mind, body, and soul. She's the author of the book Pure and a number of other helpful books for young girls. And we encourage you to visit our online resource center if you're not there already at homeward.com. You'll find information about how you can learn more about the materials that Rebecca has produced over the years. And also earlier in the broadcast, I mentioned the full-length audio CD of this program. Of course, we always archive our audio at homeward.com. You can go back and listen to the audio stream there. You can also podcast along with us through iTunes. Hit the podcast button at homeward.com, and that'll take you right there. And if you'd like a full-length audio CD of today's program, all you have to do is drop us a line. Include a gift of any amount when you write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.